We are now in the days after Christmas. The gifts have been unwrapped, some already broken, exchanged, or returned. The food has been eaten, even the leftovers. Most of our guests have returned home. And yet, it is only now that we are actually officially in the middle of Christmas. Up until Christmas Day, we were actually in Advent, the days preparation leading up to Christmas. Now, we are in the 12 days of Christmas that will end next Sunday at Epiphany. Now is the time to focus not on the trappings of Christmas, but on its meaning, to let the wonder and the miracle sink in and impact our lives. For the promise of Emmanuel, God with us, is life transforming. An example of the power that Christmas can be seen in a remarkable story that emerged from the front lines of the trenches in World War I. Though accounts vary, it seems that the week leading up to Christmas 1914, groups of German and British soldiers began to exchange seasonal greetings, cigarettes, and songs between their trenches. The unofficial ceasefires allowed soldiers on both sides to venture out into no man's land, the stretch of land between the German and British trenches, to collect and bury the bodies of the dead soldiers. One version of the events has it that the Germans began singing Stille Nacht on Christmas Eve. British soldiers, recognizing the tune as Silent Night, joined in. Some groups of soldiers even finished up with a game of soccer together. Actual letters from the British soldiers who witnessed the truce gave us a glimpse of that Christmas Eve on the Western Front 100 years ago. Here's what some of them said about what happened.
The Germans started singing and lighting candles about 7:30 on Christmas Eve. And one of them challenged any one of us to come across for a bottle of wine. One of our fellows accepted the challenge and took a big cake to exchange.
We came from our mouse holes and saw the Germans advancing towards us and waving cigarette boxes, handkerchiefs, and towels. They had no rifles with them, and then we knew it could only be a greeting and that it was all right.
We had a church service and sang hymns. We met the Germans midway between the trenches and wished each other a Merry Christmas. We exchanged buttons, badges, caps, and we all sang songs.
They gave us cigars and cigarettes and toffee, and they told us they didn't want to fight, but had to. Some could speak English as well as we could, and some had worked in Manchester. The Germans seemed very nice chaps who were awfully sick of the war.
We were able to move about the whole of Christmas Day with absolute freedom. It was a day of peace in war. It was only a pity that it was not a decisive peace.
In a letter sent from the front on December 29th, 1914, Staff Sergeant Clement Barker reports that during the truce, British soldiers went out and recovered 69 dead comrades in no man's land and buried them. Sergeant Barker also reports that an impromptu football match then broke out between the two sides when a ball was kicked out from the British lines into no man's land. Another soldier writes about how the truce came to an end at 3 p.m. on Christmas Day when a German officer called his men in.
A German soldier said to me, "Today, Christmas Day, nice. Tomorrow, shoot." As he left me, he held out his hand, which I accepted, and said, "Farewell, comrade." And with that, we parted.
Remembering this truth a century later isn't just about what happened then. It's about what we, God's children and followers of the Prince of Peace, can do now in the midst of conflict and fear in the 21st century. What we can do today, right now, this Christmas, to help our families, our communities, our world, hang on to our humanity in the face of brutality. What can we do to continue to love one another and to care about those we don't even know? While so much around us shouts at us to hate and fear and give up on the real possibilities for peace and reconciliation, how can we meaningfully pray for those we call enemies today, as well as those who were enemies in 1914? I would invite you now to do the following. What are your prayers for peace in the light of the birth of the Prince of Peace? What vision of a world is calm and bright? And what vision do you hold? How will you reach across divisions and build bridges to celebrate the coming of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, all of us, in the year to come?